Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go. This is, how old is this recording? This is Wretched Radio, bringing you the latest in celebrity news and entertainment, and calling it Christian radio, which is what a lot of people do. Seems to me, I gotta tell you, I don't think we're living in a post-Christian America anymore, based on our celebrity news. It looks like we are back. We are back. We are absolutely back, baby. Kanye West claiming to be a Christian. I think the culture war is over. He's been talking about this now apparently for a number of months, claiming to be born again. Do I hope he is? Absolutely. Does this mean that somehow Christianity is more true than it used to be? Absolutely not. Does this mean somehow we've now got a reason to believe because a famous person has said, I believe in Jesus too? Nevertheless, it won't be long before evangelicals grab onto this celebrity, prop him up, and make him the poster boy for evangelical Christianity, as if somehow that is more persuasive than the word of God itself. If somebody coming back from the dead won't persuade somebody, Kanye West ain't going to get it done either. Now, can God use a Christian? Of course. Could God use a famous person to propagate the gospel? Of course. But we evangelicals, we sure do glom onto them, don't we? Hey! He walked by a church. He's one of ours. We're back. We evangelicals. Apparently, Kanye West has been doing some different services. He calls them pop-up church. I think he just did it in Atlanta at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. Yep, he brought his pop-up series called Sunday Service, drawing members and celebrities alike to the megachurch. About a 600-person choir. Must have been a big church. You got a choir of 600 people. Wow, that's a big place. He did some singing, and he did some preaching. Now, that's problematic. Somebody who is now professing to be a believer is suddenly preaching and teaching. Can we please slow our roll on this, please? How many times do evangelicals need to get burned by a person who claims to be a Christian? We throw them in the spotlight, and then, whoops! I'm trying to think of the number of guys from the 90s and early 2000s where this happened. Have you seen them lately? Are they doing anything in the Christian realm? No, maybe they're just living quietly. That would be a very good thing. But so often somebody says, yep, I'm a Christian. And we go, oh good. Oh, we've got one on our side. Oh. Alton Brown, he's the fellow from Good Eats. He lives in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. Alton Brown opens up about his 2015 divorce. That's a bummer. Oh, did you see that Sarah Palin and Todd Palin are getting a divorce?
Yeah.
That's a bummer. You know what? I don't care whether the person is a believer or not. Well, I mean, I do. But in this instance, I don't care. Republican, Democrat, liberal, anytime somebody gets a divorce, it is a bummer. It's bad for marriage. It besmirches the picture that the marriage union, the covenant relationship, is intended to portray. And it leaves behind a wake of bodies every time. So it's a bummer. So Sarah Palin getting a divorce. Alton Brown got a divorce, left his wife and the Southern Baptist Church. This from People Magazine. Alton and Deanna were married for 21 years. Don't you hate to hear that? Just, I know it's a mystery. Dr. John Street, he helped with this when he did his Rooted marriage seminar, talking about people who have children life quickly starts to revolve around the kids. And if you say, well, they don't, not in our house, well, they probably do more than you think. I mean, it's very natural. You just have to work really hard. If you're not intentionally working to make sure it is not a child-centered home, it probably is to a degree, varying shades, but nevertheless, because you do. You love the little totally depraved sinners. They're adorable vipers and diapers. But quickly, that's what life is. And you get along with your spouse because basically, I don't mean this pejoratively, you're distracted with the kids. So you got that in common. You pick them up, I'll take them to it. And you get along because we're very, very busy. And you're busy growing and maybe changing. And then all of a sudden the kids go, they leave home. 21 years sounds about right. And all of a sudden you're there with that person who's become a total stranger. And you have to spend a lot of time with them. This is something, I don't know, maybe there's a book about this. I'm not familiar with it. And maybe in discipling this would be taught. Okay, gentlemen, let me ask you this question. We'll test out my theory. Did anybody ever share with you, and I don't mean this negatively, like danger, danger. Well, there is danger. But did they ever warn you that your life is going to change when the kids leave home? And it's going to be radically different. This whole, it went beyond just saying, oh, you're going to be an empty nester, eh? That it is going to radically change your relationship with your spouse because you're just with them a whole lot more. And that's it. And now you don't have distractions in your home. And now you better make sure that you like that person or you've got an awful lot of work to do because you are in a big hole and you're going to have to work really hard to dig yourself out of it. Did anybody ever share thoughts like that? But just saying, get ready. That is a transition time that is massive. Joey, anybody ever share that with you? No, you know, good. So, Tony, did anybody ever share that with you?
That it was going to be a big
change?
Proving
my point right there. No, nobody ever does that. That is exactly my point. Nobody ever.
I mean, no.
But do they teach you how to, like, what the dynamic is? Why it is the way that it is? What you should do to respond to it? Nobody ever shared that with me. We've had dinner with a lot of couples that were ahead of us, and nobody ever said, so how are you guys preparing for being empty nesters? Never heard it. Which leads me to believe we've got some really bad friends. You guys, somebody talked to you about this? I need to know your friends. Apparently nobody had that conversation with the Browns. They were married for 21 years. And this is when he was getting famous. The two were deeply devoted to their Southern Baptist religion. But their devotion to each other couldn't go the distance. Shortly after their split, Alton Brown resigned from the Johnson Ferry Baptist Church, which tried to keep the couple together despite their desire to separate. Oh, that ain't good right there. Johnson Ferry Baptist, is that over in Marietta? I thought Alton Brown was in Alpharetta. Sorry. That's Atlanta talk. So he left the church. It appears maybe she didn't. His attachment to the church simply didn't work. Who recently bought back his hit show Good Eats. There's too much contradiction for my social beliefs. Uh-oh. My social beliefs are far more liberal than what falls under most of the structures of organized religion, and I find that difficult to work with. So, religion wouldn't conform to Alton, so he leaves it. Isn't the idea that we're supposed to conform to what God says, whether we like it or not? Nevertheless, sounds to me, speculating a bit, but when he talks about his social beliefs not being in alignment with the Southern Baptist Convention, what else could he be talking about but sexual and gender issues? So here's what we see. A fellow claims to be a Christian, vamooses, because of his social beliefs. Well, and that divorce business. Speaking of Drew Brees, this is a big fat bummer. He did a commercial for Focus on the Family, some sort of promotional video. And it was about bringing your Bible to school. Then some atheists or the LGBTQ community said, hey, what are you doing with a video with Focus on the Family? So Drew Brees addressed the situation with reporters, basically taking a page out of the playbook of Michael Brown, saying he was not aware of any of the things that they said about them lobbying for anti-gay and anti-type of messaging or inequality or any type of hate-type related stuff. So he wasn't, he didn't know that Focus on the Family actually, you know, focused on family. And so it is that Drew Brees, backpedaling from his association with Focus on the Family, because apparently they don't align with his social views. Now, there's not much from the article that we can learn, but get used to it. More and more professing Christians, when they are forced by our culture to either defend the truth claims of the Bible regarding gender and sexuality, they're going to fold. They are just going to crumble. Expect to see it a lot. And might I suggest we all get prepared for it? Really, we really would do well to start thinking a lot of these issues through. What will happen if my work starts promoting these things? What? Oh, I received. I gotta find this. Oh, I'm feeling the bright. I'm really stressed. It's the way the kids talk. I got it right here. Here we go. My brother just applied for a job with Toyota. Here's the question he had to ask. Are you gay, lesbian, or a member of the LGBT community? Yes, no, prefer not to answer. No, but I identify as an ally. Whoa. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks much for joining us today. Always glad when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. And thank you very much for the very kind words about our gospel booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? A short, thorough, and loving little booklet on true and false conversions. If you haven't heard about the booklet, might I suggest going to wretched.org/fish, click on the download link, and read the booklet for yourself. And then you can order your 10 or 25 or 100 copies to hand out to friends and folks you care about. wretched.org/fish to get your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish? Jesus spoke more than once on the topic of true and false conversions. You know, the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. Head off to wretched.org/fish, read Are You a Rotten Fish, and then order your copies to hand out to friends and loved ones. wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Halloween is right around the corner already, and that means you can either turn off your porch light and, you know, hide from the kids going door to door, or you can give away candy and toes. Our evangelistic booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe, is perfect to give away with the candy. I mean, not only will the kiddos receive some sweet treats, but they'll also bring home the gospel to their parents who dig around looking for a Reese's peanut butter cup to eat. Maybe two. What could be more perfect than reading the gospel while getting cavities? Don't Stub Your Toe. It's a thorough, long gospel presentation, and it's in the perfect little pocket size. So order up your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe now at wretched.org/toe. That way, you'll make sure to have your copies on hand before Halloween rolls around, and you're stuck cowering in the dark from the little trick-or-treaters. wretched.org/toe and hand out candy and toes for Halloween. Visit wretched.org/toe today. SOS Ministries hopes to see a national movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. And they do that through the local church, community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center, where they thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of that would be possible. Can you help? Go to sosministries.com.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the seed of the woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a Savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine Savior born of the seed of woman.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So how would you answer this question? This is Wretched Radio. There you are. You're applying for a job with Toyota. They make a nice automobile, don't they? Let's see. It's Toyota. Their luxury car is Acura, I think. Then it's Nissan and It's Nissan and Infiniti. It's they've got like the the luxury
Yang
line, and then the every
the
person
GM
line.
And the Cadillac.
So, same car, basically. Just I guess some
Lexus.
Differences. Lexus is Toyota.
Yeah.
All right, and so okay, Lexus is Toyota. What is Honda and Acura?
Honda's Acura.
Okay.
Yep.
There it is, right there. You're applying for your job at Toyota. Here's the question on the application. Are you gay, lesbian, or a member of the LGBT community? Can you ask that these days? Can you? Whenever I like buy something and they ask you for your gender, male, female, it's like, really? How like 2010 are you? Haven't you heard? There are no genders. What am I today? Whatever I determine.
I just answer both.
On the Toyota question, it could, yeah, it could be. They should have the long list of things, which they probably will soon. Are you gay, lesbian, or a member of the LGBT, etc. community? Here are your choices.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Prefer not to answer.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I identify as an ally. What?
Ooh.
What?
So that's so that means, or why didn't you click on, or why didn't you answer?
No,
either
I'm
yes,
an ally.
Yes or ally.
Well, but because if you click no, that means I'm not an ally. And that means you're probably not going to get hired. So that, I mean, how can you not conclude that? What are you going to do, Christian? Get ready. This is not fantasy land. This is happening to our brothers and sisters. This is happening in our culture. Thinking through these issues before the crucible starts to make it more intense. We have a tendency to come up with different decisions when we're feeling the heat than when we are just working through the issue. You better get ready because it's going to happen to you. You are going to be asked to participate in. Hey, come to the conference room. We're celebrating fill-in-the-blank week. And it's totally against your values, your biblical morals. What will you do? Are you willing to lose your job over these issues? How are you going to treat a believer who isn't willing to lose his or her job, but to kind of go with the flow, doesn't say anything, works through it by saying, well, I don't even eat the cake. I go into the room, but I just stand there. Don't talk. I don't sing along. I don't fire off the little, the shooter thingies. I don't eat the cake. How are you going to treat that person when you think, no, I couldn't do that? We better start talking these things through. Because there is going to be a division in evangelical Christianity, and I think it is a perfectly good one. There will be those people who will say, who will do the Drew Brees type of thing and go, whoa, wait a second. I didn't know that that's what those people taught about sexual issues. And they're going to backpedal. How are you going to react to it? So you bump into Drew Brees. It could happen. How are you going to treat him? There's going to be people, preachers, who try to toe that line, and you know what they're doing. They're tap dancing. Are they in? Are they out? What about the Christian who maybe makes a decision about working in a place where you would feel uncomfortable? I think a line would be that if you're working, I don't think a Christian could go to work for Planned Parenthood. Can a Christian, though, go to work for a company that makes keychains? They make keychains. But with some of their profits, they support Planned Parenthood. Let's say you don't think that that is a place where a Christian should work. That's what your conscience dictates. But there's another Christian who goes, I can. I mean, how they spend their profits, that's on them, not me. I'm not telling them to support Planned Parenthood. I'm just making keychains because I need to provide for my family and I want to support my church. How are we going to treat one another? Get ready. It's coming. All the signs are there. Kansas University faculty wants Chick-fil-A banned from campus for fears of safety and mental well-being.
Of course.
Them chicken sandwiches and waffle fries, they drive me crazy, but for a different reason altogether. The faculty council, filled with extreme frustration, they were probably stressed too, wants Chick-fil-A removed from campus for being a bastion of bigotry. Nice alliteration and hyperbole. A bastion of bigotry. You know, okay, Tony.
Yeah.
I will, just to demonstrate what a bastion of bigotry is, I am going to demonstrate by being your typical line worker at Chick-fil-A.
All right.
All right, you walk in. Welcome to Chick-fil-A, maybe.
Thanks. Yeah.
Who are you? What's your sexuality?
I'm, huh?
I'll determine if I'm going to welcome you to Chick-fil-A or not. What's your sexuality?
Huh?
You heard me. I'll welcome you as soon as you tell me you're a heterosexual. Are you or aren't you?
But you want the waffle fries
or not, Pally boy?
It was a chicken sandwich.
Who did you sleep with last night? Where's your stance on Caitlyn Jenner? Huh? Tell me or there's going to be no peach shake for you, Buster. Out with you. Security.
That would only work in a state that doesn't allow conceal and carry.
You can go look that up on the YouTube machine. Tons of those bastions and bigotry performances. Yeah. The culture of Chick-fil-A fosters hate and discrimination on multiple levels. Really?
Wow.
Said the I'm not making this up. The Sexuality and Gender Diversity Faculty and Staff Council. The Sexuality and Gender Diversity Faculty and Staff Control.
Huh.
Staff Council. Writing in a two-page letter, accusing university leaders of being, quote, more concerned about money and corporate sponsorship than physical, emotional, and mental well-being of marginalized and LGBTQ people. Are there any, does McDonald's support LGBTQ stuff? Let's just say for a moment, they do. Do I throw a fit? I can't walk into a McDonald's. They support LGBTQ people. I'm not getting any nuggets here. I feel so terrified. My emotional and mental well-being, it's challenged. Nope. But apparently, the other side does. It has come under fire several times after its president and CEO, Dan Cathy, publicly supported traditional marriage in 2012. And opponents have accused Chick-fil-A of being anti-LGBTQ for giving to the Family Research Council and Salvation Army, to name a few. So they can support Planned Parenthood and we gulp it down. But they, a corporation, supports a family-related organization and they are guilty of physical, emotional, and mental abuse. Okay. The faculty group added, quote, the arrival of Chick-fil-A in this building is insulting, counterproductive, unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Remember, diversity, it's a one-way street. What are you going to do, Christian, when this comes knocking on your door? What are you going to do when people in your church make different decisions from you? We are going to see, I think, two different types of splits. In one instance, I think it's a good split because you're just going to see a separating of people. They were not sound Christians to begin with. Bad profession of faith. Liberal theology. It's like, good. Call yourself something else. Then please stop using the word Christian. We're happy with that. Having said that, got to be careful that we don't draw other lines, not in all of these situations, but in some of these situations, there is going to be a diversity of opinion. And there are going to be different Christians that conclude different things. And we need to be careful which lines that we are willing to draw and which ones should not be drawn at all. Because if we start drawing lines with everybody who makes a slightly different decision about employment issues, how you deal with the papers that you need to write at university. Do you speak out? Do you speak out in your class? Wait a second. You mean in your French poetry class when they were talking about LGBTQ issues? You didn't stand up and profess to be a believer and tell them why their position on this is sinful? Anathema. Got to be careful that we're not drawing those lines, because we're going to see instances where different Christians respond differently, and we better have a whole lot of love for one another as we work through some of those different issues. There will be time to draw lines, and there's going to be times when we have to say these are issues of conscience, they are issues of adiaphora, we're going to have a difference of opinion, and I'm going to still love my brother or sister, even though in this particular situation I think I would have worked through it a little bit differently, but I'm not going to start labeling them Antichrist over some of these issues, but not all of them. Christian, you would do well if you're looking for a little tishrating. You know, conversation's been a little flat at the dinner table. Hey, honey, what are we going to do when the mortgage company says that we no longer qualify because we don't endorse LGBTQ? What are we going to do in that situation? You're going to have lots to chat about, because there's a lot of these issues coming our way, like it or not. This is Wretched Radio.
Does your church have a passion to see souls saved, but you don't know where to start? HeartsForTheLost.com. Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They will fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar, and then they will go out into the streets with you to put what you've learned into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or schedule your conference, go to HeartsForTheLost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Planned Parenthood's extreme agenda is being exposed on a whole new level in the aftermath of the abortion giant firing its CEO, Dr. Lena Wen. Wen just resolved her dispute with Planned Parenthood Monday, but not before she had challenged the organization, saying it threatened to withhold her health care and severance package if she refused to sign a confidentiality agreement. She said she refused to be silenced by a ransom demand from Planned Parenthood. In a letter leaked to the New York Times, Wen states that Planned Parenthood was trying to buy my silence. They want to silence my voice as a public health expert, the letter reads. I simply will not sign away my right to speak my mind. I won't compromise my integrity. As CBN News reported, Planned Parenthood removed Wen as its president less than a year after she was chosen to lead the organization. When she was fired, she said it was because she wanted to shift Planned Parenthood to put women's health first rather than abortion. Now, the Christian Post is also reporting Wen saying that Planned Parenthood uses a stridently political abortion-first philosophy, which weakened her efforts to provide health care for women. This, of course, at a time when the battle over abortion is heating up both in state legislatures and on the federal level. Melanie Newman, a senior vice president for communications at Planned Parenthood, said that Dr. Wen's recent allegations were unfortunate, saddening, and simply untrue, according to the New York Times, adding that her salary and health benefits were under terms that are standard and consistent with her employment agreement and any reasonable executive exit package. The kicker would be, Wen is pregnant, and Planned Parenthood was allegedly threatening to withhold her health care, even though, of course, it claims often and loudly its services are all about women's health care. Critics say it's just the latest proof of Planned Parenthood's abortion-first agenda. The Duke University Student Government Senate has voted unanimously to reject the Christian group Young Life as an officially recognized student group on campus. The reason, of course, is Young Life's stance on sexuality. According to the Duke Chronicle, the senators believe that their policy that homosexual behavior is a sin and forbids those who participate in it from holding leadership positions violates the requirement that all Duke students groups include a non-discrimination statement in their constitution. While Young Life's statement of faith makes it clear it doesn't discriminate on who attends Young Life meetings, but that apparently was not enough for the Duke student senators. Without official recognition, Young Life, which already has a following on the Duke campus, will have to continue to meet at off-campus sites. Duke's not alone. There has also been decertification at places like Wayne State and the University of Iowa. So add Duke to the list of institutions whose efforts not to discriminate end up discriminating against Bible-believing Christians. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1906. The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, launches Pentecostalism and paves the way for the development of the modern charismatic movement. Pentecostalism is marked by a focus on supernatural gifts such as healing and speaking in tongues. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Gotta be kind of careful with this here list. This is Wretched Radio. For your consideration, some signs somebody that you know or love is contemplating suicide before I even take a breath, which I rarely seem to do anyway, would like to throw up a flare, a little warning that says, do not pistol whip yourself if you miss these signs. Want to be careful that we're wise, that we're really thoughtful. If we're dealing with somebody who has demonstrated or even confessed to you they struggle with issues of depression, we should be on the alert for things. That's simply a loving thing to do. And there are plenty of lists out there that will tell you, watch for this, watch for this, watch for that. And that's wise. But there's also a danger that if somebody experiences somebody who commits suicide that they were watching, trying to study, and they miss this, I should have known. They could carry around so much unnecessary guilt. So let's go through this little list because I think it's helpful for all of us because, frankly, we all know people who struggle with this issue if we ourselves do not. Let's use this list, but let's use it wisely. And let us not use it to feel bad if you miss one of them. So for your consideration, 14 ways to tell if someone is suicidal. There's probably more. This just happens to be one of the lists that's out there. Suicidal talk. They actually talk about it. Now, again, this does not mean that they're going to commit suicide because they talk about suicide, but it could. No, it's... I can't. The only time that I talk about the issue of suicide is when we're talking about the epidemic that we are seeing in our culture and now even in the churches. But otherwise, I don't talk about it because I'm not pondering it. Now, do I ever talk about Zaxby's? Yes. Why? Because I'm pondering it.
And
even as I speak
deal.
Right now. Well, working on that endorsement deal. So if anybody knows anybody at Zaxby's, that's kind of as far as I've gotten right there. I just eat there a lot. Number two, giving away prized possessions. That's a sign that they're taking care of business. They're getting their house in order. They want the joy of presenting that possession to somebody while they're still alive. Number three, they make changes to their will. Number four, obtaining a weapon. Now, that's not necessarily the ultimate determiner, but if somebody has been struggling with it, if I'm not mistaken, I do believe that guns are the number one way that people choose to attempt suicide, I believe. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that more people die at their own hands with a gun than people who are shot by somebody else possessing a gun. I think that's right. Furthermore, I don't know if you read this. Who's the guy? He's the radio host. He's an incredibly interesting fellow. I'm not even talking about his content. I'm not that familiar with it, but I'm just knocked out by his ability to captivate an audience. He's with Ben Shapiro. Who's the guy who runs the network that Shapiro is on? Radio guy. He's been around for 100 years. Not Mark Stein. No. Got that really interesting voice. And he's just captivating.
Levin?
Is it Mark Levin?
Yes.
Okay. Mark Levin. Not Levin. But that's more biblical, Joey, so I appreciate that. So you get points for the biblical answer, but he does spread like Levin. Hopefully his content is good. He's a fascinating guy to listen to. He was talking about the CAFE standards that are imposed by the government on automobiles for weight, because the lighter the car, the less gas they use. How many people die in lighter made vehicles? from CAFE standards that are imposed by the government? More than gun deaths. Just food for thought. Another sign of suicide, strange sleeping patterns. 6, low energy. 7, abusing drugs or alcohol. I think part of these signs are new things that they are doing. Some of these could be ongoing issues for somebody. Strange sleeping patterns could be ongoing. But nevertheless, if it's a new thing, that might especially alert you. 8, low motivation for social life. No desire to participate in activities that they used to love. 10, self-harm. Could be a sign. 11, emotional outbursts. 12, body language. Maybe it's they're just carrying themselves, comporting themselves differently. And this is why, too. If you miss these signs, don't blame yourself for it. 13, past suicide attempts. They've tried it before. They may be trying it again. 14, this one might surprise you. Happiness and calmness. They have made the decision. They've crossed the Rubicon. Now they just have to perform the act, and they're very, very calm about things. They finally believe that there is rest to their struggles. And my understanding increasingly about the issue of suicide is that people, they have so lost hope. I think that's the key word in all of this, is the conversation revolving around hope. They are so lacking hope. They aren't even looking anymore for hope. They just want an end to the pain. They're tired. They want an end to the struggle. And it's not like they're looking for a fresh start. They just want it to totally stop. Not a new beginning. Just be done with this. They are so bone weary from the struggle. So if suddenly they are happy, they are calm, doesn't mean definitively that they're about to take their life, but could be a sign. Use that list very, very carefully. And I might suggest two thoughts. Never say to somebody who has lost a loved one to suicide, well, were there any signs? As if, why didn't you catch it? How does that help anything? And second, if don't put yourself in the doghouse because, oh, I just thought that maybe they had turned the corner. They were so happy, and I just thought that everything was better. But it turns out that was actually a sign they were suicidal. You're not the one responsible for their suicide. They are. Having said all of that, there is an attitude that I'd like to be a little bit more aggressive about. Have been reading different evangelicals' perspective on the theological issue of the afterlife of people who commit suicide. I think we want to be careful that we do not say that everybody who professes to be a Christian who commits suicide is definitely going to heaven. That would be a pendulum swing from, I think, the historical position of anybody who commits suicide is going to hell. That has been the historical position, based mostly on the types of people who committed suicide, and most specifically, Judas Iscariot. He went to the place prepared for him, and it wasn't heaven. And so the assumption has been anybody who ever commits suicide is absolutely going to hell. I don't think that's right. I don't think, however, it is wise to say nobody who commits suicide is going to hell, because it could be a marker, an indicator that they were faithless. It could be an indicator that they had no care and they had no hope, which means they were not believers. It could be. I don't think we want to go to that extreme either. Having said that, I think that we can study our Bibles and come to the conclusion that there are some genuine believers who can take their own life who were just going through a season where they ended up making a rash and foolish decision. Furthermore, I think we can understand that a Christian can get overwhelmed. It used to be called the dark night of the soul. Consider Charles Spurgeon. Maybe his health got him to the point where he was just felt like, I just want to be done with this, and in a moment of weakness, took his own life because he couldn't stand the physical pain anymore. Let's just say Charles Spurgeon had committed suicide. If his family doesn't mind me using him for this illustration, would you have said, oh, he's gone, he went to hell? I don't think you'd do that. You would go, okay, we need to take a look at this. But the totality of Charles Spurgeon's life pointed toward a man who was soundly saved, who dealt with some very difficult physical issues, who maybe in a low moment of foolishness gave in to the voices in his head. Same thing is true with people who don't have a physical malady. They are feeling so spiritually bleak, so down, so hopeless, even as a Christian, that they end up taking their life. And I mean, reading too many people who are making pronouncements one way or the other, and I think it needs to be more nuanced and thoughtful than that. The preaching at the death of a suicide is a very difficult thing, and I want to make sure that I don't fall into one ditch or another if I'm called to do that, or if I'm called in to comfort somebody who has lost a loved one to suicide. The question is not, what was the person's last act? The question is, did they have a profession of faith that was credible? And did their life, for the most part, support that? And if it did, then I think we can be hopeful for their afterlife. God was not pleased with this final act. It was a wicked sin, but Jesus died for wicked sinners. And if the person had a credible profession and a lifestyle that backed it up, I think we can joyfully proclaim we look forward to seeing that person in heaven. Let us not fall into one ditch or the other, whiplash from one side or the other. Let's always be biblical. This is Wretched Radio. Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charged for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched?
Well done, you. So far, you have given away 500,000 copies of What Time Is Purple. Way to go. See, our goal at Wretched is to give away 1 million copies of What Time Is Purple, and hopefully we've made it easy for you. If you pay for shipping and promise to give them away, it's our pleasure to provide you with up to 50 of these evangelistic booklets at no charge. Just go to wretched.org/purple to get your copies. Now, if you or your organization need more than 50 copies, then you email jen@wretched.org. That's J-E-N. jen@wretched.org to make your request, including details, please, on how you plan to distribute them. Now, if you would like to read What Time Is Purple and or receive information on how to distribute this booklet, just go to whattimeispurple.com. To get your free copies of What Time Is Purple to hand out on our way to a million, visit wretched.org/purple for your copies today. That's wretched.org/purple.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International, for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote a second epistle to clarify and defend the Christian message. He asserts the authority of Scripture, warns against false teachers, and reminds us that the end is coming. But God is patient, allowing all of his people to come to repentance. If you want a clear contrast between true and false Christianity, look to 2 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How to beat your wife? This is Wretched Radio. In studio from Bible League International, Michael Woolworth. Michael, the video that has made its way all over the world of a Qatarian? How do you... The Qatar...
Yeah, right.
Qatari, did
right.
I do it right?
You did it.
I knew that. The Qatarian sociologist using his 7-8-year-old son to demonstrate how a Muslim should lovingly beat his wife. Because he actually said, because Islam is a religion of peace, so we want to beat them properly. Honestly... I don't even know how those concepts go together. Nevertheless, honor beatings. We've heard about honor killings, but there are also honor beatings. You just returned from the Middle East. How prevalent is that?
Well, let me say this. Not everybody who is an adherent to Islam is extreme, right?
Of course.
Right. We're not saying that at all today. But where it is extreme... it'll blow your mind, right?
Mm.
And you're talking about these honor beatings and killings that are justified in many parts of the Middle East. Now, you wouldn't know that unless you are tuning in right now to be able to hear this perspective. Let me illustrate what this looks like. Met a young gal, late teens, Aria is her first name. Beautiful Egyptian woman, right? Was raised in a strict Muslim family. Father was a mullah, a man who interpreted Islamic law, right? She was a good Muslim. She read a Quran. She said her prayers 5 times a day, but she could see that something, it just wasn't delivering, right, on its promise. A woman who received a Bible through a previous Bible League effort invited her to a Bible study. So she took the invitation. She went. After several weeks, and that's how these typically go down, she accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, right? She came to see there is a difference of Jesus in Islam and Jesus in Christianity. She took her little Bible study booklet from Bible League in her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. She still lived at home with her family. Her mother was rummaging through the house one day, found this, gave it to her father. Now, Todd, some of these stories are really, really difficult to tell, but I can tell you what happened was he beat her unconscious. It didn't stop there. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel, right? Somebody who had left Islam, converted to Christianity, and in so many of the countries where we minister, that is apostasy. That's a crime. That is a crime. And so the authorities took her to a remote cell. They beat her. They violated her. They tortured her. They tore the fingernails from her hands. I won't get much more graphic than that. All right? Did the same thing to the Christian friend, the woman who'd been a Christian for about a year, left them there for about 2 weeks with very little food, water, and virtually no outside contact. Families had no idea where they were, right? And yet that is justified. Now, they let these girls go eventually, right? Again, 18, 19, 20 years of age, all right? I've got a daughter in that age range. And I think what they have gone through, simply because they named the name of Jesus, blows your mind, right? Now, here's where it gets a little brighter. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ, former Muslims who have, again, some of these espouse the militant Islam. These honor beatings we were talking about are justified. Honor killings are justified. Deceit is justified. That's who these new believers are. Now, I would think that if your plight is to live out your faith in a part of the world where people hate Christianity, right, you'd probably curl up in a fetal position and just say, I'm going to just sort of live life on the down low. And yet here's women who are refusing to keep quiet about Jesus. This is what's happened in the Middle East. Todd, we were able to visit with pastors and lay people, and they could say, look, that direction, there's 1,000 new believers. 500 over here. There's 200 over here. They're small, but they're growing. There's 1,000 over here. We added it up, and that was 10,000 new believers. We had several pastors that corroborated for us. And, of course, as active participants in the Great Commission at Bible League, we see this all the time. hey, God's doing amazing things in the Middle East. Would you? Isn't it hard to believe there's even a believer in that part of the world? I know that's where Christianity was birthed, right? I mean, life began in that part of the world, and yet the statistics would tell you the church, she must be retreating. But I'm telling you, she's the radiant bride of Christ.
And the gospel that they're hearing probably isn't about living their best life now, or you will get wealthy, or you will be healthy, or life will just be more satisfying and fulfilling. The only way that people endure that type of persecution is if they've heard the true gospel. God has regenerated them, saved them, and they are willing to go through torture because they believe the promises of everlasting life.
Yeah.
So the good news in this is, like, if you were over there peddling this, hey, everybody, it's going to be wacky do fun time if you become a Christian, it does not sell. These are people who have to consider the claims carefully and who have determined this is a no-brainer. I'll die with Christ rather than not have him.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging, too. And while none of us is looking forward to persecution, it does have that sort of that sifting effect, which isn't a horrible thing. It's a true church that you're seeing over there in the Middle East.
Well, I hope that by hearing this, by seeing this today, that we can all think about what's it cost me to serve Jesus?
Ryan.
What is the cost? Here's the value of having the Bible, let's say in the Arabic language. You can open that Bible and see where Jesus says, they hate you because they hated me first.
That helps.
Paul saying to Timothy, you want to live a godly life in Christ? You're gonna suffer. You're going to be persecuted. Yeah. It's not a matter of if, but when. Todd, I sat kneecap to kneecap at kitchen tables on couches of so many believers, including this young lady, Aria. They may have said it a little bit differently each time, but here's essentially the commonality between those believers, right? Members of our spiritual family. They were able to say with conviction, it is a privilege and it's a joy to serve the Lord. Now, in the circumstances I just mentioned, where do you find that strength? Where do you find that hope? Well, you know, it's in the gospel, right? That's the power of the Holy Spirit to equip his church with grace and with gumption. And that's what I saw lived out. It didn't take us long to figure out the church in the Middle East under severe persecution, again, is not the retreating bride of Christ. She's the radiant bride.
But think about those folks who don't have, say, the Psalms, where you can run when times are tough to get your emotions in alignment with God's, his will and his understanding. Mm. The Psalms, guide, they don't have them. Many of these folks, they don't have the Bible,
right.
Which is why hearing this, I hope that somebody will call 1-800-YES-WORD to send as many Bibles as they can to these people that we are talking about. These people, you don't go down to the local Islamic bookstore and pick up a copy of the New Testament in their language. Bible League International, are there other Bible delivering ministries out there? Because Bible League is just massive and efficient. And in how many countries around the globe?
Well, thanks for those kind words. 50. So we're in, about 50 countries right now. This is our 81st year of ministry.
So it's working out.
It's working out. It seems like it's working
pretty
out.
Pretty safe bet for placing your giving into this ministry. Well, it might be around for a while.
Yeah, and Todd, what an honor for us to partner with you. We're co-laborers in this thing, aren't we?
Well,
and your listeners and your viewers, they really get this. They really understand this.
Yeah. I mean,
they really do.
Because they love the word, and so they know that what it's like to be without it would be horrible.
I had a phone call with one of your wonderful supporters. I called her, a couple by the name of Steve and Allison. I said, Allison, why'd you give? I said, there's a lot of things you could invest in. She said, Michael, it occurred to me that if this were a loved one of mine, a child, a former college roommate, a friend, you'd do anything you could to get them a Bible if they were a new believer. She said, you know what, it dawned on me, even though these believers are half a world away, I have a responsibility to them. That exemplifies the wretched audience.
Yeah, but honestly, it's not the wretched audience. It's just believers who love the word.
This is on us, isn't it? You know, I mean, this type of work is on us. I mean, the world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very,
very, very nice
important
things.
Those are very important causes.
Yes.
As a global ministry, our paths often cross with both Christian and secular organizations that do those things very, very well. We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, right? That's on us as God's people. And I'm so grateful there are people that really understand that, and they let their hearts and their checkbooks translate that passion.
Would encourage you to join Bible League International. You're hearing the stories, believers waiting under persecution for the word in their own language. You can do that with Bible League International, a ministry we heartily endorse and commend to you. 1-800-YES-WORD, 1-800-YES-WORD. Or if you're one of those internet technology people, who isn't these days, wretched.org/Bible. It is just $5 per Bible. Perhaps a starting place would be $7 per month. Could you do that? 1-800-YES-WORD, wretched.org/Bible. Until next time, go serve your King.